Grace, mercy, and peace to you, dear favored ones of God, for the Lord who was with Mary is also with you. Our text is the announcement to the Virgin Mary by the angel Gabriel that she would conceive and bear the Son of God, especially the words with which the angel Gabriel greeted her. Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. This is our text. Some greetings mean trouble. Like those times when my mom would use my middle name. Peter Francis, she would say. Or when your boss tells you to come in and have a seat. Or when the teacher says, I'd like to talk to you for a minute. In a different setting or spoken by someone else, we wouldn't find these same words troubling. When my wife used my middle name for our wedding vows, I was delighted. It all depends on who says it, when they say it, and where. We know immediately that some greetings mean bad news. Our sin has found us out. Or some terrible tragedy has taken place. So it's no surprise that the Virgin Mary was greatly troubled when the angel Gabriel spoke to her. And as she tried to figure out what kind of greeting this was, what had God's messenger said to her that shook her up so badly? Only this: greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. These words might not seem like trouble to us, but this greeting seemed like trouble to Mary. Having grown up with the Old Testament scriptures, she knew that angels were rarely seen and only in the most exceptional circumstances. Though they could bring good news, more often angels brought judgment for sin and unbelief. So when Mary saw Gabriel, what ran through her head? Did she remember the cherubim with flaming swords that guarded the way to Eden? Or the angel of death that took the lives of the Egyptian firstborn? Or the stories of angels striking down tens of thousands in Israel and later in the camp of the Assyrians? It was one thing for Mary to be near the holy God through the temple sacrifices that he had established. But it was something quite different for her to be addressed personally by God's messenger in her own village, apart from the sacrificial blood. As it is written, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So I wonder just how troubled Mary was. And yet Gabriel's words themselves weren't troubling. They were actually fairly encouraging. He greeted her with kindness. He called her favored one. He said that the Lord was with her. But that didn't make sense to Mary. Why would she be singled out? What would God possibly want with her? After all, think about who she was. Just a young teenage woman, unmarried and a virgin. Sure, there were occasions in the Old Testament when an angel had visited a woman, but when Sarah and Hannah had been visited by angels long ago, they were both barren women, married to important men, and up there in age. And each of them was told that the Lord would grant them a child linked to the promised Messiah. Mary didn't fit that pattern. She seemed the furthest thing from being favored by God. She was dirt poor, and she was from Nazareth. And everyone knows exactly what that means. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? No, as Mary stood in front of that angel, she must have thought she certainly could not be favored by God. Her life proved otherwise. Could the angel be mistaken? Maybe he meant someone else. I wonder if she glanced over her shoulder, expecting to see another person behind her. Mary was unworthy of the divine favor, and she knew it. She didn't deserve this greeting. She hadn't done anything to earn it. Like everyone descended from Adam and Eve, she too was conceived and born in sin. Sinful parents means sinful children, and she was no exception. And the same is true of us. Even if we're religious people, even if we lead halfway decent lives, we and our children are all born under sin and unclean. We deserve nothing from God except his punishment and his wrath. So it's no wonder that Mary quaked when she heard the angel. Maybe she thought something like this: would the Lord really greet me with kindness? What about my sin? Is it possible that I should receive divine favor? How can I, in the midst of poverty and sickness and death in this poor little village, how can I be blessed by God? What would move the Lord to have mercy on me rather than judgment? Though she felt lowly and despised, though she knew her own unworthiness, still the angel's words were most definitely addressed to her. There was no one else to whom the angel could possibly be speaking except Mary. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Favor with God. That was the second time she'd heard those words. Do you think she was surprised? You better believe it. And you should be surprised as well, because you also are God's favored one through the Son conceived and born of the Virgin Mary. You see, the angel's greeting wasn't followed by divine punishment for sin. The angel's greeting wasn't followed by some terrible and horrific tragedy. The Lord's favor rested on Mary, and this is what it meant for her. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The special favor that Mary received was that she would be a mother, the mother of God. Her son wouldn't just play a supporting role in the coming of the promised Messiah. He would be the lead actor in this divine drama of salvation, the Messiah himself. The fulfillment of every promise would be in her womb for 9 months and then be born into the world. Think about those 9 months. Did Mary marvel at each hiccup and kick that she felt? Was she concerned about stretch marks? Did she experience discomfort and difficulty in sleeping as she carried this child? We see here just how great the great honor that God bestows on pregnancy, and how highly he views motherhood, and how valuable every human life is from the moment of conception. What the angel announced to Mary that day was good news not only for her, but it was good news for all people. The favor of God that met Mary there would be extended far beyond her. The Son would be given the name Jesus to show what he would do, that he would save his people from their sins. And he would sit on the throne of his father David to rule over an eternal, boundless kingdom. Jesus is both the Son of Mary and the Son of God. He is both the descendant of David, and he is David's Lord. He is true God and also true man in one person. And of course, the question that Mary has, how could she not have the question, is how could this be? A virgin birth is a contradiction. It defies everything we know about human biology, everything we know about reproduction. But the angel Gabriel there announced the unthinkable, the miraculous, what could only be divine. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Here was a child conceived not in the normal way, but miraculously by the Holy Spirit. This humanly impossible birth, defying reason and nature, was entirely the work of God. It reminds me of how God began the creation in the very beginning. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and from that Spirit hovering over the waters came the original creation and the first man. So the Spirit of God hovering over Mary would bring forth a new creation and a new humanity in her child. Being the Son of God, Jesus was a second Adam, born without the stain of original sin. Of all people who've ever been born, he was the one who truly found favor with God, because he alone was holy and sinless. And as God's favored one, Jesus came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor for us all. He secured favor for Mary and for all people in the sweet swap that he did on the cross. The sinless man bore our sin. The second Adam took the place of the first Adam and his descendants. The eternal one died. The one who was favored by God became rejected by him as he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it was by doing this that Jesus gained the favor of God for his mother and for all people. You see, God's favor is a free gift in Jesus Christ. It's not earned by what we do. It's not ours because of any merit. We don't deserve his favor one bit. And yet it's the very same thing as God's grace. It's shown to us because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. The same thing goes for the favor shown to Mary. The angel addressed Mary as the favored one because of her highly favored son. She was highly favored because of the blood of her son, the blood that he would shed on the cross as a sacrifice for her sin and for yours. This is why, as Christians, we should not view Mary as one who gives us favor with God, but rather as one who receives and enjoys God's gracious favor. She is for us perhaps the greatest example of a Christian, one who hears the promise of a Savior and believes, even when that promise of a Savior was about the child to be born from her own womb. The impossible word that God spoke to Mary was not only that she, a virgin, would give birth to a son, but also that she, a sinner, found favor in the eyes of God because of that son. It all depended on Jesus. This is why in her Magnificat, her wonderful hymn of praise in Luke chapter 1, Mary called him God, my Savior. And so she receives the angel's message in faith. She is not deserving of the favor that has found her, but she recognizes that the favor she has with God is a favor earned for her by her son. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done for me according to your word. And now here's the point for you today. Brothers and sisters in Christ, today you are each another Mary, because today you also have God's favor through her son. From that one miraculous conception and by that son's bloody death on the cross comes divine favor for you and for all people. And I know there may be times when you want to look over your shoulder and expect that that divine favor is really meant for someone else, but it's meant for you. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But God gives it to us as a free gift. He has forgiven your sins for Christ's sake. He doesn't hold them against you. You aren't being punished for your sins. No terrible tragedy has come upon you. But instead, a Savior has been conceived for you. This gospel is a beautiful greeting. It brings the good news that you are highly favored by God and that the Lord is with you. It gives you a new birth through Jesus Christ into his eternal kingdom. What joy is yours, what joy is mine, dear Christian, as you and I live in this preaching, as we rejoice in our baptism, as we receive the very body and blood of the one who was conceived and born of Mary, and who brings us the very favor of God. The Lord is with you. Though the devil, though the world, though your sinful flesh would love nothing more than to rob you of this word and the confidence that comes from God's favor, the Lord sends you today a messenger, gives you today his gifts. And so, like Gabriel, I declare to you again today, in Jesus Christ, conceived by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, you are God's favored one. The Lord is with you, and his face shines on you. In Jesus' name, amen.